Okay, let's go to the outline right away. Okay, let's turn to the outline. And I think this time the outline is short, but it's important. It's to the point. I didn't go right away to Leviticus because I think going to the last book of the Old Testament is important for us to see, because at the very end, the last book of the Old Covenant, in Malachi, the emphasis is still the matter of the priesthood, the covenant with Levi. So let's turn to Malachi. Yeah, let's go to Malachi. But before we do that, I want to emphasize again that God's plan and purpose is to gain a kingdom of priests. God will never change his plan. Okay, so if you have the time, I hope you can read all the verses there from Exodus in point B, 1. You have Exodus 19 to Isaiah 61, verse 6, and then 1 Peter 2, Revelation 1, 6, 5, 7, 20 to 22. And if you put all those verses together, you would realize that God's plan with the priesthood will never change. And if the Lord would open our understanding to read through the whole Bible, you must realize that the priesthood is very crucial in God's plan. Even if you read through the Kings and Chronicles, the priesthood is a key to whatever God is going to do in war or in whatever the kings want to know, they go to the priest. Because the Urim and the Thummim is with the priest, especially the high priest. So the priesthood is important. And it is a very special gift of God, and it is for beauty and for glory. It's something very special. You may not realize it, but the priesthood is a very, very special gift from God. Yeah. So, in chapter 19 of Exodus, immediately God told his people after coming out of Egypt, we mentioned last night, and told him and told the people of God, if you would keep my word and do according to what I tell you, you will be to me a kingdom of priests. But of course we know what happened. And instead of having the 12 tribes to be a kingdom of priests, the priesthood went to the tribe of Levi because they were faithful. Remember this. They stood on God's side. It is very important to see this point. Why did the tribe of Levi receive these blessings of the priesthood? Because they were faithful to God. They stood on God's side when the whole people were worshiping a golden calf. Moses drew a line and said, "Who is on my side? Let him come over here." And only the priests, priestly tribe at that time, it's the tribe of Levi, stood on Moses' side. It's very important. You have to make the right decision. Most of the Christians, they don't want to be a priest. But it's your choice. You have to realize what is God's plan and purpose. God already told them, I want to make you a kingdom of priests. But instead of being faithful to God, they started to worship the golden calf. Well, for us Christians, the Lord has saved us. He brought us out of Egypt. But then, somewhere along the line, we still want to go back to Egypt. Because Egypt signifies the world. Many of the Christians today, after being saved and born again, children of God, they still love the world. Remember what 1 John chapter 2 tells us. What does it say?
Do not love the world.
Do not love the world. You have to be reminded. Because the world, if you love the world, John says the love of the Father will not be in you. There is a competition here. Do you love the world or do you love the Father? Don't think it is a simple thing. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. And not only that, the world is going to pass away. Think you all know that. But unfortunately, even if we know that, we still love the world. What can we do? What can we say? And you have to realize what John, the first John says, the whole world lies in the hands of the evil one. It's under his influence. So if you love the world, I don't mean you should give up your job. No. We do need to have a job today, right? You cannot just stay home and do nothing and read the Bible, but no. But not to love the world does not mean that you don't do anything anymore. You quit your job. But while you're working, Sarah, you're working today, right? In fact, you're doing a good job. But whatever you're doing, you should gain Christ. You're serving God, not your company. Remember that. Right? The whole world lies in a sway. That means under the influence of the evil one. So there is a competition going on. Then in Isaiah chapter 61, would you like to read Isaiah 61, somebody? Demo? Can you read Isaiah 61 to us?
Yes.
Yep.
What verse?
Verse 6.
But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast.
So when is this going to happen? When the Lord comes back. So when the Lord comes back, are you a priest or you're not a priest? You should be a priest today. Right? Even when the Lord comes back, especially when the Lord comes back, it says here in Isaiah 61, verse 6, you shall be named the priests of the Lord. But if you're not a priest of the Lord now, and when the Lord comes back, will you be called a priest of the Lord? I don't think you will be called a priest of the Lord. Right. And you will rule over the whole earth when the Lord comes back. Right? So you won't miss anything. The whole world will belong to us. And they, the whole world, will call you the servants of our God because you are serving God. And in their glory you shall boast. So even Isaiah told us that you shall be called a priest of the Lord. Not Christians, but priests of the Lord. So that means being a priest is very important. Even when the Lord comes back. In First Peter, you all know, repeated what Exodus chapter 19 said. And in Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, would you read it to us? Just to remind everybody. Remind everyone concerning God's plan and purpose, especially in the book of Revelation. Would you read it to us?
And has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
And before that verse, that last phrase in verse 5.
To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. So right in the first chapter of the book of Revelation, the Lord tells us once again very clearly, we are redeemed for one purpose, to be made kings and priests to God. This is the purpose of redemption, of being saved and born again. Not to go to heaven, right, but to be constituted priests and kings. Remember this. And then chapter 5, would you continue? Okay.
And have made us
Okay, 9 and 10. And have redeemed. Yeah, okay, go ahead.
and have redeemed us to God by your blood out
Out
of
of every
every tribe
tribe,
and tongue
tongue, and
and
people,
people and
and
nation,
nations.
and have made us kings and priests to our God.
To do what? To go to heaven?
No.
No.
And we shall reign on the earth.
And we shall reign on the earth. If you're not a king, and if you're not a priest today, you want to be qualified to reign on the earth during the millennial kingdom. This is God's plan and purpose. What about, let's go to chapter 7 of the book of Revelation. Verse 15. These are those who were raptured to the throne, okay? In chapter 7. Remember we mentioned about it last night? Okay. Verse 15.
Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will dwell among them.
Right. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him. This word serve is not to serve as a servant, but to serve as a priest. In the New Testament, you have two words, actually three. You have the word to minister, which also means to serve, or to serve as a servant, which is the Greek word douleo, which means to serve as a slave. Or you can serve as a priest, and this word to serve him is Latreo. Latreo means to serve as a priest, a priestly service. Are you serving God today, Timo? As what?
As a priest.
As a priest or as a slave? Well, maybe both. But what do you prefer? What is more honorable? As a priest. You know, as a servant, you don't need to put on priestly garment, right? But as a priest, you need to put on a special priestly garment, which is for beauty and for glory, the beauty of holiness and for the glory of God. But if you're just a servant doing a lot of service, you don't need to. You don't need any uniform. But as a priest, you need to put on the priestly garment. Remember that, which is an honor. Okay, in verse 20, I'm chapter 20. We go to chapter 20. Would you please go to chapter 20,
Verse
Remo?
six. It verse six.
Yeah, verse 6.
Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years.
Praise the Lord. So, of course, all the believers in Christ will rise first. But that's the general resurrection. But there is a difference between those who are resurrected. Paul says he wants to attain to the best resurrection. That means there is a reward for those who are Christians, every one of us. Paul desired to attain to the best resurrection. This is why he wants to experience the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, even to be conformed to his death, so that he can attain, reached the best resurrection from the dead. Outstanding resurrection. Many of the Bible translation did not emphasize that point. In the Greek, there is a prefix, the ek prefix, meaning to say the outstanding resurrection, just like when you graduate from university. A lot of people graduate, but some graduated with what? Summa cum laude, or cum laude, or magna cum laude. And some barely made it.
Seriously.
The same thing when the time of resurrection comes. You think we'll all be resurrected and receive everyone a cum laude? No, definitely not. It all depends on how you live your Christian life today. Now, the Lord said what in Revelation chapter 22, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me." What is the reward? Who receive a reward? Ifan, everybody receives the same reward? There are so many Christians nowadays today. Yeah, so many Christians and many different Christians. Are we all the same? Yes, we're all saved. No doubt about that. By faith. By the grace of God, not of works. Salvation is free. So everybody receives the same salvation. But what you do with the salvation is very different. As a Christian, yeah. There are so many different kinds of Christians today. Right? So, are you sure you're going to receive a reward when the Lord comes? Timo, have you thought about it? Every day? Many times? What about you, Lynn? Majority of the Christians believe that when the Lord comes, they're all going to be taken up. But if you read the Bible carefully, the majority is going to remain here for the last 3.5 years, going through that period of time is terrible. I cannot imagine going through that time. Do you want to go through that time, Sarah? So what are you going to do? Right. Prepare yourself for the Lord's coming. So, even at the very end of the book of Revelation, you can realize that they all, especially the priests, the overcomers, the first fruits, they're going to reign with Christ and serve as priests in Revelation chapter 22. We just read Revelation 22, right? Did we? Oh, 20. Okay, let's go to Revelation 22. Right. Verse 3.
Verse 3.
Okay.
And there shall be no more curse.
No more curse. Wonderful. Mm-hmm.
But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it.
That is in the new heavenly Jerusalem, the holy city, right?
Yeah.
New heaven and new earth. So what are we going to do in new heaven and new earth?
And his servants shall serve him.
Ah, what is that as word, priest. Serve? As priests. But if the translators didn't know that and did not differentiate the word service, as a regular service, as a slave, as a servant, or as a priest, then you cannot tell the difference. That is why some argued, well, it says this, his servant shall serve him as priest. Oh, no, I mean serve him. You see, so we are all servants, doing service for the Lord. What about in our translation? Do we translate serve him as priest? Do you have a Zion translation in German?
No. I don't have it.
Who has a Zion translation in German? Oh, okay. What does it say in our translation?
Zion. They werden ihm als Priester dienen.
As priest dienen. That means his servants will serve him as priests. I know, some people even use this verse to say, hey, we don't need to serve as priests, we just serve him. Whatever we do today to serve the Lord is okay. But no, even in eternity, the new heaven and new earth, the real servants will serve him as priests. It's wonderful. So in the whole book of Revelation, it's all about the service of the priest. Whether you like it or not, well, it's not your choice. It's written here in the book of Revelation. But today, a lot of Christians don't have this understanding. They just want to do something for God. Literature work, gospel work, missionary work, all kinds of work. All kinds of services, but not as priests. This is why I put all these verses there so that you will remember. Yes, there are different kinds of services, but what is the best kind?
The priestly service.
The priestly service. I don't know if it impressed you or not. But today, teamwork, you have a choice. Which kind of service do you want to be, to serve?
The
What kind of a servant do you want to be?
priestly service.
Yeah, better teach your wife to be a priest. We all need to serve him as priests. I don't know if you ever consider this before the Lord. I'm very, very thankful that the Lord has shown us the priesthood. It's not a small thing. And he showed this to us at the end of this age, because that's the ultimate goal. It's not just to do something for God. Now to serve as a priest. Praise the Lord. Priesthood. You need to appreciate that. You need to be thankful. Yeah, I feel sorry for many of the saints that I knew. Been telling them since 10 years, but they don't want to practice it. They said, no, it's okay what we're doing today. Some are even against it. So what are we going to do? We have no choice. So you need to appreciate that, not just to know it, not just to practice it, but you have to see that it is a special privilege, just like the tribe of the Levites, especially Aaron and his sons, receiving the priesthood. You remember the priest, Phinehas? What is his name now? Yeah. What did he do, Sharon? You remember Balaam? Ah, Balaam taught Balak a plot to destroy the people of Israel. And what was that plot? It is to send the Moabite women to mix with the people of Israel and to mix them and to commit fornication and adultery and being mixed with the Moabite women. And how many thousands were killed by God during that time? And the plague came in, and so many thousands died. And then one of them, Jew, brought this a Moabite woman into the camp, and nobody dared to kill that woman. Finally, who did? Phinehas. He was a priest. He took a spear and went through both the man and the woman. And because he did that, the plague stopped. The plague stopped. And God rewarded with a wonderful reward to Phinehas. What was that reward, Sharon? Ah, say it loudly.
A covenant of an everlasting priesthood.
A covenant of an everlasting priesthood.
For him and all of his descendants.
For him and all his descendants. Wow. Can you imagine that was a reward because he was faithful to God? It was not easy to do that. You think it was easy? He had the courage to do that, to take a spear and pierce through that woman and that man there, that Moabite woman and the Jewish man. Was it easy to do it? Nobody else dared to. But Phinehas did it. If you were there, would you do it? I don't think so, right? It's hard. We like to compromise. Many times there is a problem in a church, but nobody wants to speak the truth. Because if you speak the truth, somebody will get hurt, right? So you're so kind and you're so nice, but you're not faithful to God. But Phinehas was faithful to God. He knew the will of God. He knew the heart of God. Okay, let's go back to the tribe of Levi. When they stood on the side of Moses, what did they do? Everybody just stood there and watch. No.
They drew their sword.
What did they do with the sword?
They killed their brethren.
They killed their brethren. When you read that, what did you think? Wow. Right? I think everybody who read that chapter was like, ah, wow. Lynn, would you do that? You see, she didn't answer. I will have a hard time too answering that question. They wouldn't have done it if God did not tell them to do it. They did it not because they hate their brothers, but they did it because they stood on God's side. They're faithful to God. That is very important, in principle, very important for us to see and understand. In the last 60 years, I went through a lot of cases and situations. Right? Well, we went through a lot. There was an occasion where nobody dares to say the truth of what was happening. But by the Lord's mercy, our conscience will not let us remain silent. So we have to speak the truth. And because we spoke the truth at that time, we were kicked out. Are you willing to be kicked out? Are you willing to stand for the truth? This is one of the major characteristics and qualification of being a priest, to stand on God's side. You remember that song, "We Are on the Lord's Side"? You love that song? Whose side are you on? So may the Lord open our eyes. It's not simple to be a priest. Really, it is not. You have to be faithful to God, to be one with God. You remember when the Lord Jesus came on this earth? The whole nation was compromised. Did the Lord make any compromise? No, he was fully one with the Father. It doesn't matter if people hated him, want to kill him, gave him so many troubles when he was on the earth, and finally crucified him. What did the Lord do? What would you have done, Sarah?
I would have quit.
You would have quit or compromised. He says, okay, just leave it. Leave it away too, so that there's going to be peace. But peace at what cost? It's not because we are, what, piece of wood without any feeling. No. It's not that we are not compassionate. It's not that we didn't love the brethren. But the Lord says, if you love your father and mother, husband and wife, or children, sons and daughters, then you're not worthy of me. He's God. When it comes to the choice between the situation and standing with God, who are you going to stand with? So being a priest is not just, okay, we're going to start bringing spiritual sacrifices. No. Which is important. I'm not saying it's not. But in this special fellowship, I felt the necessity to share with you. It is very important. These qualifications of the priesthood is very important, to be faithful to God, standing with God on his side. And things are not easy, but I still have to stand with God. So may the Lord open our eyes. Well, even going back to the very beginning, Abel and Cain, if you know Cain, it's going to do something to you. Are you still going to offer something to God that God wants? Right from the offstart, from the very beginning, Abel offered up what is acceptable to God. You think Abel didn't understand his brother? Mm-hmm. Do you understand your brother and your sister? So, from the very beginning already, we know the price of doing something that is well-pleasing to the Father, which the other side didn't want. What happened? You think they're going to leave you alone? They're not going to leave you alone. They're going to kick you out. They're going to hate you for no good reason at all. Why do they hate the Lord Jesus? What did he do?
Without a cause.
It's written, they hate me without a cause. In the Psalms, right? Yes, there is a cause. The cause is now that the Lord did something against them. What was the cause? Because they were evil, but the Lord was good. What the Lord did pleased God. What did Abel do to deserve that? He pleased God. It's not just doing something for God. Cain didn't do anything for God, right? He did. He brought the terrible things to offer to God. Did he?
His best.
Oh, he even did his best. My goodness. So if somebody did his best, will you accept it?
The Lord did not accept.
Why?
What do you mean?
You think if Cain brought the rotten food, right? Those that are half eaten by some of the animals there, and not the best he brought to God, and God didn't accept, you think Abel will get mad? I mean, Cain will get mad? He would have understood, right? He would say, oh, okay, I didn't bring the best. But he brought the best to God. Lord, Lord, did we not preach in your name? Did I not go to Africa to preach the gospel in your name? Did I not do many good works in your name? Did I not even cast out demons in your name? Are those bad works or good works? What did the Lord say? I never knew you. So it's not just a matter of doing something good for God, okay? It's not God's will. Today, so many people are doing something good for God. But if it is not according to God's will, it will not be accepted. It will not be accepted. So, right. Throughout all these verses, you have to realize something. The service of the priesthood is something very special, something according to the will of God. And to summarize everything, the will of God is for you to live Him, to live Christ, not I, but Christ. Whatever comes from me is not acceptable. It has to come from Christ. Tell me why, Timo.
Because we are fallen.
Because we are fallen. We are sinful. If it's from the flesh, it will never be accepted by God. Impossible to be accepted by God. So, if we understood that, then we can go to Malachi chapter 2. Now let's go to Malachi chapter 2. I better get my watch out here so I know the time. Yeah. Okay, we have Malachi chapter 2, verses 4 to 7. You got it? Okay.
Then you shall know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant with Levi may continue,
May continue,
says the Lord of
says the
hosts.
Lord of hosts.
My
Continue.
covenant with him, was with him one of life and peace,
Amen.
and I gave them to him that he might fear
Fear
me.
me.
So he feared me and was reverent before my name.
Amen.
The law of truth was in
Was
his
in his
mouth,
mouth.
and injustice
Injustice
was
was not
not found
found
on
on his
his
lips.
lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and turned many away from iniquity.
Yes.
For the lips of the priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth.
Yes.
For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts.
Right.
Amen.
Verse 8, but you have departed from the way of the priesthood. But you have departed. One thing that I like to underline for all of you is the word covenant. In verse 4, my covenant with Levi may, and not just may, but must continue, must not cease, must not stop. It has to be maintained. It has to be a continuous priesthood, a covenant. What is a covenant? Well,
Two parties.
in the present world, we don't use the word covenant. We use the word what? A
Contract.
contract. What happens if it is an eternal contract? That means you cannot break it. God's covenant will never cease. It is God's promise, God's word. Will never be taken back. Otherwise, his word will not be God's word. A covenant means something that is forever, especially God's covenant. So the covenant with Levi is an everlasting covenant, right? You read that. Not just with Phinehas, but with his generation. And from generation to generation, it will not stop. It will not cease. You think God will change his plan? We might change. We might depart from his ways. And I've seen many who departed from his ways. But God will never stop. He will not say, okay, everybody left, so I'm going to change the covenant. No, but there will always be someone and a remnant who will keep that covenant. So the priesthood is not just what God thought is a good idea, it is a covenant. Not just at the time of Israel, and not just in the time of the new covenant, but even in the book of Revelation, in the millennial kingdom. And not only in the millennial kingdom, but that covenant will continue in the new heaven and new earth. You realize that? I'm really lost of words. How can I make it clear to people how important the priesthood is for God? Not just for us, but for God. Because Without the priests, then it is impossible for us to become kings and accomplish God's will and purpose. The kingship and the priesthood belongs together. You might think, okay, I'm just doing the priesthood, but what about the kingship? This is why Peter put these two words together, a holy and a royal priesthood. You may not realize, if you begin to experience Christ, and the more you experience Christ, the more Christ grew in you, you will become like him. You will be transformed and changed into his likeness. And Christ is not only a savior, he's not only God, but he is also a king. He is also the ruler. Remember, if I ask you, Timo, I'm going to use you tonight, okay? Timo, why do you think the Lord ascended to the throne? He only died for you, right? To save you. So after he saved you, he rose again, and you reasoned with him, right? You believe that?
Yes.
Why do you think the Lord went to the throne and sit on the throne? Just for himself, to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords?
For all of us.
Have you ever thought the Lord ascended to the throne for you and me? Because our destiny is to be on the throne. Why did he become a man? Because man is the most important of all of God's creation, created according to his image and likeness to have dominion. But now, after man fell, man had no right to be on the throne, to have dominion. So salvation is not complete without Christ going to the throne above. You think the Lord wants to sit by himself on the throne? What did he say to the church in Laodicea? To him who overcomes, he will sit on a fine chair, okay? I'll make him a chair of gold so that he can sit on a chair of gold. Huh? What did he say?
Well, grant him to sit with me on my throne.
On my throne. And what throne is Christ sitting on today?
In the Father's throne.
In the Father's throne. Don't think there's a special throne for him. And don't think there's a special throne for you. And don't ask me how come that is that throne big enough for everybody to sit with him? How do you explain that? It will have enough space if you realize that you are in him and he is in you. We are all in Christ, so how many thrones do we need? Just 100 one. Million, billions of thrones?
Just one.
One is enough? How many chairs do we need here? We are not too many, right? So you have to realize it is so important for us to know Christ, to be one in Christ. Galatians chapter what? 3. That we were baptized into him, into Christ, have put on Christ. And we become one with him. And this is what a priesthood is important. It's not just to enjoy Christ as our sin offering that he Well, he died for my sins and I get forgiveness and that's fine. Right? No, it's not. It's not just a matter of redemption. It's a matter of being constituted to be kings. And in order to do that, you have to enjoy Christ as a burnt offering, the one who is one with God and a Father. You remember when the Lord was on this earth? He says, I and my Father are two. Are you sure? So how many are there? How many God do we have?
Yes.
How come it's three? How come it's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? How many are there?
Three.
How many are there? One plus one plus one equals
one.
One. What kind of a mathematic is that?
Heavenly one.
Not just heavenly, it's a spiritual one. It's a reality. But are you one with him today? When Paul says, for me to live is Christ. So how many are living there?
One.
It's a very simple mathematics. It's a very simple mathematics. Not so complicated like calculus. A lot of people have problems with calculus, right? Do you have a problem with calculus? No, wow, you're very special. But let me tell you, the heavenly mathematics is very simple. No longer I, but Christ. So how many are there? One. This is really wonderful. Right? So this is the covenant of the priesthood. To be kings and priests. This is why the priesthood is important. This is why Leviticus, the first part from chapters 1 to 7, is a matter of the priesthood.
Yeah.
Right. I come back to the point, it's not just a matter of redemption and forgiveness. All my sins are forgiven. That's fine. Well, praise the Lord. But what about transformation? What about becoming one with him? What about being fully mature and perfected in Christ? The matter of the burnt offering means you're fully one with the Father to do his will, to do whatever the Father wants. Not to do so many things for him, but to do the will of the Father. And in order to do the will of the Father, you have to be one with him. How many times did you say no to him? So if you say too many times no to the Father, and the Father says, don't think this. But I like to think this. And don't say that, but your lips wants to say it. Don't do this, but you're itchy. You want to do it. Don't go there. Your feet says, but I want to go there. And so how many are you? Are you one with him, or are you yourself doing things separately from the Father? So when the Lord Jesus was on this earth, he says, the words that I've spoken to you are, it's not me speaking, it's the Father and me. The works that I've done, it's not me doing the works, it's my Father in me doing the work. So how many are there? So God the Father remains there and sent the Son to come, right? Right? Yes. So the Father is there and the Son is here.
Wrong answer.
Wrong answer. Oh, my goodness. Wrong answer. Well, you better correct your answer. So when the Father sent the Son, the Father stayed there and the Son came and said, okay, Father, I'll do your job. And the Lord came here.
He is with
He is with him. Not only he is with him, he came in him to this world. That's why the Lord says, if you see me, you see the Father. If you listen to me, you're listening to the Father. And the work that I've done, it's the Father doing. This is doing the will of the Father. It is not that, okay, Father, tell me what to do and I'll go and do it. If I tell Sharon to do something, she says, good, I'll do it for you. But I'm not like God and Christ. So when the Lord Jesus came to this earth and did the will of the Father, so who's doing it?
Father, through him.
So if you see him, who do you see?
Father.
If you receive him, who are you receiving?
The Father.
Father.
If you deny him, you're denying who?
The Father.
I know this sounds impossible, right? It is because our Lord is one with the Father. And the Father is one with him. That's why the Lord says, don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? And now what about us today? What about all of us today? You know, I really appreciate Paul. Doesn't mean that I don't appreciate Peter and James and all the others. But Paul said it very, very clearly. Not I, but Christ in me. Not I, but the grace of God that is in me who did all these things. But in many of us Christians today, oh, I did that, and I did this. And so if it is I who did it, who gets the glory?
I.
Of course I. If you think you're the one who did it, and did a good job, so who gets the glory? You get the glory. But if it is Christ in you who did the job, who gets the glory? The Father. So being a priest is very wonderful. This is why not only is there a burnt offering, there's a meal offering, signifying the humanity of the Lord Jesus. This is why in Paul's writing it says you have to put off the old man. Who is the old man? Who is the old man? You.
The
I. The I. You know, but people in this world say, oh, he's my old man. That means he's my husband. My old man, right? This is saying, the old man.
Father.
Oh, no, the old man is also the husband. But it also refers to the father. But no, the father is not just the old man, my old man. You don't call your dad my old man.
Yes.
Please don't call me an old man.
My grand old man.
Oh. At least the Chinese called what? Lao Gong, Lao Po, Lao La, the old man. We have to put it away, put away the old man. No, but put on the new man, which is Christ. Put on Christ. We have to put on Christ. It's very important. And this is a meal offering. If you serve God with the old man, it's not acceptable. Definitely not. God will never accept anything coming from the old man. He wants to crucify, he wants and he has crucified the old man. So how come you can still live by the old man? Something happened, Sharon? With the video?
The camera.
The camera.
Oh, the camera. Okay, then you have to tell BJ or Sharon that. Right?
John.
Oh, what happened? Yeah, okay. Is it okay? Everything all right in QC?
Yeah, we're just relying on the camera in the corner here instead of the iPhone camera.
Oh, okay. You see, everything of the old creation doesn't work properly.
Right.
Nothing works.
Oh, trying to reconnect it. We could see the floor now.
Sorry?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay, now it works.
Oh, it works again. Don't be like that in our Christian life. Sometimes, and it doesn't work many times. Learn to be consistent in living Christ. Not just once in a while. It's okay. It's all right. It doesn't matter. Sharon. So let us go back to Malachi, right? It is a covenant of life and peace. If we don't have life, we are not living the life of Christ. There won't be any peace, even in a church life, in a family life. A covenant of life and peace. If we live according to our natural life, there won't be peace. In a family, not only in the church, but in a family, even with yourself, you won't have peace. Because Christ is our peace. And that's why you have a peace offering. Peace with God. Peace with one another. Right? A covenant of life and peace. Life and peace will always go together. If at home, in whatever you do, you lost your peace, you're not in life. You're in the flesh. If in a family there's no peace, that means you're out of that realm of life. Come back to the realm of life. Life and peace. It's a covenant of life and peace. And then to serve God with reverence and godly fear, like what we see here, right? I gave them to him, life and peace, that he might fear me. To fear God is very important because there's judgment. One day when the Lord comes back, there's going to be judgment. Even Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says he knew the terror of God. He meant the judgment seat of Christ. If you have to appear before a judge, is that a pleasant thing? No. If somebody sued you and you have to appear before a judge, you like to do that? Nobody wants to do that. What about appearing before the judgment seat of Christ? Have you ever thought? When the Lord comes back, there is the judgment seat. I thought of it many times. You think it's a pleasant thought to be before the judgment seat, Sarah? Then you will say, okay, I'm not going to think about it. Well, whether you think about it or you don't think about it, you're going to face the judge before the judgment seat of Christ. This is why in Isaiah chapter 11, the last point, which is the most important point, it is the spirit of the fear of God. Many times we talk about the spirit, but we never thought about the fear of God. When you're driving the freeway with your muscle car, what do you do when you're driving a freeway? Go 200 km per hour? Why didn't you do that? Your car is so big and strong with how many horsepower? Over 500 horsepower, right? Yeah. So why don't you go 200 miles per hour?
It's dangerous.
Only because it's dangerous.
Lose your license.
What about if somebody blinked behind you now with a red light blinking?
My heart will.
Your heart will sink. That's why you don't go that fast, right? Because you have the fear of the police, fear of losing your license, even fear of ending up in jail. You're right. Fear of getting into an accident. What about appearing before a judgment seat of Christ? Think about this. We all need to appear before a judgment seat of Christ. Romans chapter 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Very clear. Very, very clear. But today, many of the Christians, they're not afraid. They have no fear of the Lord. And what about in Hebrews chapter 12? To serve God acceptably. Have you ever thought about this? You just want to serve God. But it says serve God acceptably. What does it mean acceptably, Sharon? That means God does not accept everything. Don't think he's going to accept it just because you serve him. It has to be according to his will. Don't say, Lord, Lord, I'm doing this for you. The Lord says, I didn't tell you to do it. To serve God acceptably. That means he may not accept what I'm doing. So it says, Levi, after receiving the covenant, so he feared me and was reverent before my name. If you fear God, you have to serve him with reverence, honor him. If you honor him, you will not do just anything for him. You will ask him. In your job, can you just do anything you like in the job?
No.
Why not? You're so capable, you can do it.
I will get into trouble, but
What? By doing something good for the company? You think you're doing something good for the company, but your boss will fire you. Who told you to do that? You think you're doing something good for the company. The company will fire you. You have to do everything according to the company. So he feared me and was reverent before my name, and the law of truth was in his mouth. Remember the first fruits? What did he say at the very end? And no lie was found in his mouth. Today in this world, there's so many lies. Don't think Christians won't lie. You remember the Pharisees and the scribes, the chief priests and the elders? They're not supposed to lie, right? But they told the worst lie and influenced everybody, the whole nation, with their lies. To their shame, even Pontius Pilate was more honest than they are, than they were. So the law of truth was in his mouth, and injustice was not found in his lips. So learn to keep your mouth and not to just say anything. We are very loose in our speaking. As a priest, don't be loose in your speaking. And don't lie. And don't criticize others. Remember what the Constitution of the Heavenly Kingdom says? What? Judge not. Why?
So you will not be judged.
And if you judge,
you
will also be judged. You see clearly the fault of other people, but you don't see and consider your own fault. What did he say? You see the speck in other people's eyes, so small you can see, right? But your own what?
Don't see the plank in your own eyes.
Plank. How big? You won't miss it. Not supposed to miss it, but you missed it. What did Isaiah say when he saw the throne of God in the heavens in Isaiah chapter 6? Woe to me, because I'm a man of unclean lips. Injustice was not found in his lips. You want to be a priest, you have to be this kind of a priest. Don't be afraid to speak the truth. It has to be in your mouth. And do not speak any injustice words out of your mouth. Don't judge others. Speak righteously. And he walked with me in peace and equity, and turned many away from iniquity. This is the life of a priest. The life of a priest is not to give messages like what we're doing right now. No, once in a while, yes, maybe. But in the normal life of a priest, it must be this kind of a life. What Malachi at the very end of the Old Testament scripture says, for the lips of a priest should keep knowledge, the proper knowledge, not doctrines, not theology, not just teachings, not interpretation of the Bible, but the proper knowledge of the Word of God. But if in your daily living, you're very loose in your speaking, I don't think you're qualified to speak the word of God. So our lips are very important, okay? Lord, sanctify our lips. Read Isaiah chapter 6. Because you are a messenger of the Lord. Speak only what the Lord wants to speak. Remember what the Lord said in the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew? You will be judged by every what?
Every idle.
Idle word. May not be bad words, but idle words. Unnecessary words. That's what it means. Vain speaking. You like to criticize. You like to talk about others. You like to gossip. A gossiper is not qualified to speak the word of God. Because if you speak loosely in your daily life, then you will also speak loosely with regards to the word of God. Still want to be a priest? Ivan? Amen. Yeah, do you? Do you? Sister, do you still want to be a priest? Is it easy to be a priest? I hope after this short fellowship, you all still want to be a priest and don't change your mind. But it's necessary to know the qualification. What is expected of all the priests? Don't think it is easy. Don't think you can just do whatever you like to do. No, no. Right. So praise the Lord. Verse 8, it says what? For it, but you have departed from the way. So, don't depart from the way. Don't be afraid. It may be difficult. It definitely is not easy. Nothing is easy, okay? Even just to live as a human being is not easy. So, don't give up, okay? Don't give up so easily. Right? Remember the covenant, and the Lord will supply life and peace for all of us. Okay, no unrighteousness, iniquity should be found in his lips. Then let's quickly go and remember at the very end of Malachi, the Lord is like what? One that refined the silver, right? Because we all need to be refined. We go through fire, the trials today are to refine us. Okay, it's 9 o'clock, our time. It's what time? 12 o'clock your time? 12? Oh, okay. I don't have time anymore to go to Ezekiel, but Ezekiel is very important. Okay. But I want to give you an impression that it is a serious matter to practice a priesthood. Don't think it is easy. Right. But don't think also that it is too hard that you cannot make it. Don't give up. The fellowship tonight was not to encourage you to give up, but encourage you to go on. Strongly in the spirit, trusting in the Lord, and pray and ask the Lord to grant you much life and peace and to strengthen your inner man. We cannot make it by ourselves, but we can make it through Christ. Through Christ, just like what Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, I can do all things by myself. Did he say that? No. What did he say?
Through Christ.
Through whom?
Christ.
You believe that? All things?
Yes.
Including the priesthood?
Yes.
You should say, especially the priesthood.
Yes, especially.
I can do All things, especially the priesthood, through him that strengthens me. All of us are in the same boat. We all need Christ, and we all have Christ. So please don't give up. Okay? You want to give up? Grace, you want to give up? Don't give up. Okay. None of us should give up, but trust in the Lord. By faith, you can make it. Because we are not trusting in ourselves. We are trusting in this wonderful God who is the Alpha and the Omega, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who is the beginning and the end of our priestly service. And he can make it. Christ is all and in all. Praise the Lord. So,
Amen.
praise the Lord. I hope you'll be encouraged and not discouraged, okay? Anyone who is discouraged, please raise up your hand. That means everybody's encouraged. Praise the Lord. Okay, we'll see you tomorrow night.
All
Amen.
right.